Good morning to one and all, and a warm welcome to our worship this morning here in Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland. And a welcome whether you're physically gathered together here in front of me or behind me, whether you're watching from elsewhere on Zoom or are listening to the recording at a later date, you are all most welcome. Not almost welcome, you're all most welcome. Amos is in Germany this weekend for a gathering of the Cameroon Presbyterian Church in Europe, hence me conducting this service this morning. It's my sad duty to advise you of the death this week of one of our members. Venora Caird, wife of Ron, our longest-serving active elder, passed away peacefully on Wednesday evening. Our thoughts and prayers were obviously with Ron, Cheryl, Gavin, and the extended families. Can I ask if you are able, please, to stand for a moment of silent respect? Thank you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Thank you. Please be seated. Our intimations this morning are all contained in the order of service. Please do take them away and have a read and an action upon them. A couple to specifically highlight which are coming fast over the horizon. Our holiday club starts a week tomorrow, the Great Glen Greenwelly Garden Show, about how the Lord is good to us and what he's done for us and how it affects our lives, with an emphasis on nature and creation. There has been a list at the back of the church of items which we would like donated, and the list has been fully signed up for, so don't feel too guilty if you haven't yet added your name to that. We're always happy to take donations of money for any of the outlays we have during the week, whether the fresh food or some late crafts for the young ones. So any time, please do feel free to give us something for that. The concert programme is starting a week on Wednesday at 1 o'clock, and there's two together, one that week, one the following week, and then a break, and then two in September. First one is Robin Bell, who is a very proficient organist as well as playing other instruments. He'll be giving his recital here on Wednesday the 9th of August at 1 o'clock for about 40, 45 minutes. Our call to worship this morning is a few simple words. God, your kingdom is among us all in surprising places, hidden in the everyday, small but precious, above us and below us. Your kingdom is here, and we gather as part of it to worship and adore you, O God. Amen. Our hymns this morning, I think you'll know most of them. You'll certainly know the tunes if you don't recognise the words in one or two of them. Our first one, yes, it's a traditional harvest hymn. You haven't missed the whole of the summer. There's maybe still some to come, but it does fit with the theme of the service this morning. Hymn 233, Come, You Thankful People, Come.
Come, you thankful people, come.
Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, who gives wisdom to those who are wise enough to ask for nothing more, we gather in your presence, seeking to discern what you would do through us in the kingdom's cause. We confess that too often we turn to you with impossible demands. We ask the God of justice for more than our fair share. We put our trust in the passing, flimsy things of this world when we should trust you. For selfishness pressed home and for selflessness unexplored, we seek forgiveness this day in the sure and certain hope that Christ intercedes for us. As a new week opens, may we take from this service small seeds of insight to plant them in the world, that in those places where our feet pass, they may be signs of the kingdom's growth. Living, breathing, creating God, your work in the world never stops. Growing, needing, revealing, sourcing, sorting. In every aspect of life, your spirit works as the energy that generates the potential and activity of your kingdom. We come before you, ready to praise you and ready to open our eyes, our hearts and minds, to the values of the kingdom. Lift the veil this day that you might reveal to us the kaleidoscope of divine colour that reveals the full variety and brilliance of the activity and work of the kingdom. The kingdom is real. It is here and it is waiting to welcome all, for it is inclusive in its depth. It is for the whole of humanity. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now then, I don't have a huge number of young ones. If you want to come out and join us at the front, that will be just fine. I've one or two things for you to see and to show you. Okay, there's a picture going to appear there. And what's that thing in the middle? It's a tree, isn't it? And what do you notice about the tree? It's a doorway. We'll show you the next picture, which is not that tree, but it's a similar one. And
it's a tree.
Tree, and what's happening with the tree? What's happening?
It's a car driving
through. So you think this is a nice wee small tree, do you?
No.
It fits a car. No, it's a huge tree. Okay. Well, people won't want to cut that one down. I'll come back to that in a wee minute, because I do have something to show you, which I found in our garden. That's all right, it doesn't bite. And if I show you one of these, I'll come over and show it to the camera in a minute. See? They're like that, like dandelion seeds, haven't they? Okay, that's actually... They blow down. Yes. Now, if I can come closer to here, will people be able to see? Yes. For those who have a wee bit of gardening expertise and for the choir, the willow herb seeds with all the fluffy leaves on it. Now, what we have there is one seed. Right in the middle of all that is a seed. There's a wee black bit right in the middle. You can barely see it. See, right in the middle, it's a seed. And that's all it takes. I'll need to be careful with these, or I'll get the row from Warwick when she comes to clean. That seed is then blown by the wind and lands somewhere, and it starts to grow. And it grows into a big, tall weed, what we call a weed, because we don't really want these in the garden, because they grow more of these, and they spread, and they spread, and they spread. One of the bits in the Bible reading we're going to hear once you're away this morning is about a mustard seed. Now, a mustard seed is a very tiny seed, even smaller than that, but it grows into a tree. The bush is as big as a tree, and some versions of the Bible think it grows to about 14 feet tall, and birds come and live in it and nest in it, which means it grows somewhere about the height of that archway there, from a wee seed even smaller than the seed in one of these. Now, those two trees we saw at the beginning might well be about 2,000 years old. Some of the trees are, because in the storms that we've had over the last few years, some of them have blown down and then been able to work out how old they actually are. Now, people won't want to chop them down because they're so big and they're so valuable, and they bring tourists. People come and drive through for the experience of driving through a tree. Now, 2,000 years ago is when Jesus was here, and he started as one person and taught people, and the church grew from there. They started meeting in houses, and then they spread wider and got bigger and bigger until they're meeting in buildings like this, and even bigger. And the same happens with all of us. Whatever we can start, whoever we speak to, whatever we do, we'll often start things to grow, and they'll get bigger and bigger. So what we need to do is to do the right things and tell them the right things. Tell them about Jesus and how kind he was, and how kind we are because we are copying him, we're following him. And from small seeds, big things can grow. All the people you get in touch with, contact with, and spread it on from there will grow and grow. So next time we see some of these blowing about, or we see big trees, just think what you could do for Jesus. Okay, we're going to sing a hymn now from Junior Praise, one that I think you do know. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There are some accents. I'll sing it a couple of times, and we'll get what we can.
So Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from 1 Kings chapter 3, reading from verse 5 to 12. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and a discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be." And our New Testament reading is taken from Matthew chapter 13, reading from verse 31 to 33 and from verse 44 to 52, the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that birds come and perch in its branches." He told them still another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour, until it worked all through the dough." The parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The parable of the net. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. "Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy book. And our next hymn is number 158, "God Moves in a Mysterious Way."
Thank you.
short and unforgettable. That's how I would sum up the parables we heard John read to us this morning. Short and unforgettable. It's a pity sermons couldn't be more like that. I know you must tried hard last week, but it'll be a little longer this week. Immediately, though, I'm a bit sheepish. Sheepish about how the many words I have to use in order to express even the fringes of the ways of God. But I'm not jealous. How could you ever be jealous of Jesus of Nazareth? It takes a unique genius to be able to compress into a brief picture the essence of something so profound that earth and heaven can't contain it. He is that unique genius. The kingdom of heaven is like quite a few things, obviously. But what is the kingdom of heaven which Jesus so regularly speaks of as good news? It is the very realm of God upon us, around us, within us. A realm announced and implemented by the radical words and deeds of Jesus. Heaven is not some distant reality. It is here, now. And we know it by trusting Christ and finding the awesome intimacy of the divine presence. By taking the leap of faith, not by proof, but by trust and commitment. Some modern commentators have changed the words kingdom of heaven by removing the letter G to make it less masculine. But interestingly, less about a physical geographical area and more about humans, and especially those close to us, our kith and kin, the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of heaven like? Well, it lies wherever God is present, even in our midst, but it's not easily spotted. When we hear the words kingdom of heaven, I suspect our first thoughts go to a non-earthly realm. We live on earth and God lives in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, of course. But with the realm of God, which Jesus uses parables to describe, it runs counter to these preconceptions. We know what kingdoms and empires look like. They're hierarchical, top-down, power-sucking entities. The people of ancient Israel went to Samuel and demanded a king so they could be like everyone else. Samuel got them a king, and Saul acted like Samuel expected. He sucked the air out of the room. He appointed the people to pursue his military escapades. Power can corrupt even the person whose heart is said to be set on God. David, in his time, would do the same. After all, David the king wasn't the same as David the shepherd. Even the best of kings struggled to keep the things of God in mind. There was always the need to expand the borders and defend them. When Jesus came, preaching the kingdom of God, he had a lot of history to reckon with. And so he told parables. He told parables that had a twist to them. And Matthew brings a number of them together in chapter 13. Earlier in this chapter, before our readings this morning, there's the parable of the sower and the parable of the weeds. Now we're invited to focus our attention on a series of relatively small parables. There is the parable of the mustard seed. It's interesting that the mustard seed might be small, but when planted intentionally or not, it produces a shrub that most people of the day would have considered a weed. It's not something you'd want in your garden, crowding out the roses and the fuchsias. And yet, this weed that messes up the garden is a sign of God's realm. When the kingdom of God draws near, it upsets things. And that's why we try to institutionalize it. Yes, church folk like things to be done decently and with some orderliness. The church lifts up the value of being nice. Remember, cleanliness is next to godliness. The kingdom of heaven, however, is like the mustard plant that takes root in this garden and is threatening to take over. It started small, but it's growing fast. And then there's the yeast. The woman mixed it into her flour so that the bread would rise. And just a little would leaven a whole loaf. For the Jews of that day, yeast was a symbol of corruption. This woman is playing with fire. But of course, Jesus plays with fire as well. Paul got a reputation for doing much the same thing. Wherever the reign of God is present, things get changed and transformed. Then there are two further parables, one involving land and other involving apparel. Both speak to treasures that are desired. And the question is, what are you willing to part with in order to obtain this treasure? It too is hidden. It might be buried in a field that doesn't belong to you, or might be a small pearl hidden in a jeweler's drawer. Whatever it is, the treasure is waiting, but you have to act. So what are you willing to give up in order to obtain this blessing? Now, is the behaviour of the man who found that treasure ethical? Depending on the imagined circumstances, opinions do vary. But that's hardly the point. Remember Matthew 19:16-22, when he tells the rich young man, if you wish to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. This kind of singleness of purpose is also the thrust of the pearl parable, where again, everything is sold in order to obtain that one prized pearl. Together, these two parables consider the cost of discipleship. These parables are brief in scope, they're short on details, but they are rich in their message. The realm of God is not easily discerned. You have to be aware that God is on the move. And then there's the final parable, the one about the fish catch. In many ways, it's a parallel to the parable of the weeds. The fishermen go out into the lake, bring in a haul of fish who are hidden down in the depths of the sea. And when they bring in the catch, they separate the good from the bad, as opposed to the weeds, which are left in place. I think we can see in this parable a reminder that we are not the power of the realm of God. We are not doing the sorting. That's the job of the angels. We have our responsibilities, but we're not the sorters, even if we would like to have that job. As we contemplate the realm of God, using this diverse collection of parables as fodder for our consideration, it's good to be reminded that the realm of God is not to be equated with some structure of power, whether in the church or in the nation. The traditional idea of an invisible church fits this understanding. Structures and clergy can be used by God to sow the seeds of the kingdom, but they're not one and the same thing. However, don't jump to arrogant conclusions. And I plead with you to let this heavenly mystery rest with the inscrutable wisdom of God. Whatever you do, don't go making self-righteous judgments. Don't ever fall into the trap of thinking we deserve our privileged position or that unbelievers do not. Things are not that simple. Some of you are lucky, as the man who found the treasure in the field, although he didn't go looking for it. Some of you are like the hard-working pearl merchant who found his heart's desire after many years. But that doesn't mean that those of you are favourites of God, nor that the hard-working pearl seekers are superior to the fortunate treasure finders. Nor does it mean that any of us here today have any more deserving or more valuable causes in God's eyes than all the unbelieving souls around us outside these doors. Why? Life is a mystery. Let the mystery stay with God. And be certain of this, though. God loves the unbelievers just as much as God loves believers. It's not God's wish that even one human being should perish without hope. And what is this ancient message Jesus is now proclaiming anew? Its clearest expression is provided in three parables for which explanations are given. And it's a theme that runs through Matthew, namely that the dominion of God may not always appear to be succeeding in this world, and even the church itself is a mixed bag of God and evil. But in the end, God will sort things out. The evil will perish, and the righteous will be part of God's bountiful and glorious harvest. Overall, this collection of parables drives to the conclusion provided in today's text in the final couple of verses. Therefore, every scribe who's been trained for the kingdom of God is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The emphasis is on the newness of what Jesus is teaching, but it's based on his announcement of what has been hidden from the foundation of the world, which Jesus cites from Psalm 78, verse 2. So what does this all mean for us? The mustard seed and 11 parables highlight the dominion of God, becoming present in an unexpected and, by worldly standards, scandalous way. The treasure and pearl parables can emphasize both the cost of discipleship needed from us and the cost of redemption that Jesus paid. The net of fish parable warns of the threat of punishment for the evil, but its main point of emphasis is to provide assurance to the righteous that God's will is accomplished in the end. A hidden treasure, a priceless pearl, short and unforgettable, many parables. If need be, forget everything else I've tried to say this morning except this. Through that wonderful teller of parables, Jesus of Nazareth, the pearl and the treasure are on offer to us this day. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our minds and our hearts to the availability and composition of your kingdom. Help us to do what is necessary with our lives to enable us to reach into your kingdom. Amen. Our next hymn, hymn 551, In Heavenly Love Abiding. Let's join together in our prayers to dedicate our offering and ourselves and our prayers for others. Let us pray. Lord, our possessions are not like treasures to bury away in some personal closet, to hoard as if they're ours alone. You give to us abundantly in the form of physical and non-physical gifts, for our wealth, for our homes, for all we own, we thank you. For opportunities, experiences, freedoms, and the love you give us, we thank you. Receive these money offerings we make and those gifts we take to others or share with the world as tokens of our appreciation for all we have. Bless what we give, the work we do, and the good we share. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Lord God, source of hope and justice for the world, we ask that you cast your net over each one of us today. Individually, we need to sort out our lives, that the emphasis of our heart's desires are first and foremost centred on the values of the kingdom. Your kingdom is for each of us, a place where we know ourselves to be recognised, valued, cared for, and blessed. In that place, we come closest of all to identifying ourselves as children of God, beneficiaries of your full care and protection. Your kingdom is for others, a place where they too will have their needs met, their potential fulfilled. Some in the world need help to clear the way for that experience to be possible. May the work of the kingdom flourish in the lives of those who face individual hardships or community challenge. So this day we pray for those who see no hope in their lives. May they be reminded that from the smallest seed of possibility, hope can be born and grow. We pray for those who are starving, who hunger for bread. We pray for those who cannot find the treasure they're looking for, the right career, the perfect companion, peace in their hearts, the family of their dreams, inner satisfaction, the right opportunity, fulfillment. We pray for those whose poverty or circumstances mean they possess little that the world would deem as precious. We pray for those impacted by the abnormal temperatures in the Mediterranean and the consequent wildfires that are having such a devastating impact on people and surroundings. We pray for those celebrating time together, anniversaries, and time, simple time with one another. We pray for those suffering from ill health or from the impact of bereavement, whether recent or for whom this is the time of an anniversary of their loss. Lord, may your kingdom come for people across the whole world. It is abundant and available for all. It is not meant to be in the possession of some in the world, but is given for all. Use us, active God, that we might live by the values of the kingdom, and direct us that we might uncover that wonderful treasure so others may possess and share it. Amen. Our final hymn this morning, possibly one of the very few, if the only hymn that doesn't fit with the readings and the theme of the sermon this morning, hymn 343, The Rain of God Like Farmer's Field.
Thank you.
just before the benediction, can I invite you, please come through for tea and coffee in the hall afterwards. I'll head to the main door to greet those who want to slip out that way, but please do feel free to come and join the rest of us in the hall afterwards. Take the smallest seed and produce life. Add yeast to the bread of life and it will grow. Find the hidden treasure in your life. Invest all you have in living for God. Cast wide your net and haul in the catch. All these blessings and more are ours from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're for us today and always.